Chapter 11. Derek pauses as he goes to pour himself another mug of coffee. It strikes him that the amount of coffee left in the pot is a little odd. Styles should have drunk at least a mug or two by now. He glances up at the ceiling. The water has been turned off for a while now. He puts the coffee pot down. His mug is still empty. He can feel worry starting to creep down his spine, making his fur stand on end. Is it me, or is Styles taking too long?
You know Styles, Erica says with a yawn. He probably stopped to reorganize all the bathroom supplies by chemical content again.
Seriously? Sam asks, eyebrows going up. What? Scott says, a little defensively. He's just come back from Argent Watch, leaving Allison to take his place. He has ADD. Derek shakes his head, his anxiety level climbing. No, not now. I mean, normally I'd agree with you, and everyone besides him and Lydia would need a periodic table to find things, but not while there's a monster on the loose and things we need to deal with.
Then let's go see where he's at, Erica says, hopping to her feet. And if he's making us worry for no reason, I'll kick the shit out of him, she adds, jogging towards the staircase at the back of the house.
Derek and Scott both follow her.
Yo, super stud, she calls out as she goes into the bathroom. Your adoring public awaits.
She shoves open the bathroom door. Steam rolls out in a small cloud, but the room is empty. Derek makes a noise like someone had just kicked him in the balls with steel-toed boots. He shoulders past Erica and wrenches the window open to clean out the steam faster. His nose is already in the air, but mostly he just smells Styles and soap, and some other things he would expect, like the dirt Styles was watching off, and the other pack members. But mostly it's just Styles, which makes things all the worse.
Look, Scott says, his tone a little flat. He touches the wall right next to the bathroom sink. There's a few tiny streaks of blood on it. The plaster of the wall is actually dinged a little. The others crowd in to look, and Derek feels his knees start to give way.
Oh my God, he breathes out. Erica catches him on the way down, so he doesn't just collapse. I felt this happen. He felt surprised, but then it went away. It was so quick, I thought he had just tripped or something.
Scott shoves his way over to the window. The bathroom is on the second floor, but that would be an easy jump for a werewolf. Without bothering to warn the others of his plan, he jumps, landing in an easy crouch on the ground. He takes a deep breath, inhaling through his nose. Soap, Styles, and a smell that's sort of like Peter Hale, but sort of not. They came this way, he calls up to the others. Erica pulls away from Derek, who by now is curled up with his back pressed against the sink cabinet, his knees pulled up to his chest, his breath coming harsh and rapid.
That's great, but I think Derek is having a panic attack, she shouts back.
Scott looks worried and sympathetic for a brief moment, but then his face hardens.
Derek, he yells, much louder than before. You think you're scared? Imagine how Styles feels right now. So put on your big girl panties, grab your little blue vest, and pull your shit together because Styles needs you.
There's a long pause, and Erica looks like she's about to duck and cover. But then Derek swallows hard, nods, and pulls himself to his feet. Erica gives Scott a thumbs up through the window. Before she can say anything else, Allison sprints around the house, having heard the shouting.
What? What's going on? She asks, alarmed.
Styles is missing, Scott tells her. Fuck if we know how. We went up to see why he was taking so long in the shower, and he's not there. There's blood on the wall, not a lot, and down here I can smell him and Peter, not Peter, whatever.
Jesus, Allison says. She darts a look over her shoulder to where she's obviously left the Argents unattended.
What about...
Screw it, Scott says. He's in charge now. They'll need Derek, but he's not going to be focused on anything except finding Styles.
That's not a bad thing, but it'll leave all other decisions on someone else's plate. If they get out, they get out. We'll just have to deal with it later.
Derek and Erica have both dropped from the window then. Derek looks at Scott and gives him a small nod.
Thanks.
Scott just nods back. As much as he doesn't want to delay, he also knows they can't afford to run off half-cocked, not while Peter Hale is in the picture.
Allison, go suit up, he says. Erica, run inside and get the others. Have them grab any gear they need. Derek and I will follow the trail. Catch up as quick as you can.
How'd he get into the house? Derek asks, although it's mostly rhetorical. He's already sniffing at the air and moving away from the house.
We still don't know how much this thing knows, Scott says. Sure, it's Peter, but it's like Peter created from Styles' mind. So does it know stuff that Styles knows? Like the back ways to avoid the traps and stuff?
Peter could probably figure it out if he had time. He's smart as fuck.
Derek shudders a little. Just the thought of his crazy uncle holding Styles prisoner. He shakes the thought off.
But how was he in the house and we didn't know?
The thing can shapeshift, right? Scott says. It probably just shifted into a spider or something we never would have noticed and waited till it could get Styles alone.
You're strangely logical under pressure, Derek says.
Scott gives a little shrug, almost embarrassed.
I guess I have to be. Or maybe it's because Styles isn't here to do the thinking.
He stops as they fetch up against the fence. As expected, Peter had found one of the vulnerable places where Styles had left a trap. There's a bit of a downhill slope, so the fence doesn't exactly lie evenly on the ground. There's room to wiggle underneath it. Styles compensated by laying down a tiny line of razor wire, but Peter found it and pulled it out before climbing through.
I'm going to rip him apart, Derek says. It's not a play threat in any sort of way.
Yeah, we have to find him first. Scott shakes his head and fishes for his keys. As he's disarming the electric fence, Allison jogs up with the others in tow. Jake looks terrified, and Sam is grim, carrying Styles' laptop for no discernible reason. Wednesday is as blank-faced as ever.
Up and over, Scott instructs them, not wanting to waste time going all the way around the house to where the panel opens.
Jake swallows.
I don't think I...
Derek glances at him, looks him up and down, and then eyes the exposed hole in their defenses.
You'll fit underneath if you're willing to wiggle, he says, pointing to the dip under the fence. It's not really dangerous since the fence is disarmed.
Oh, Jake says. He looks honestly startled that when he said he couldn't do something, he was believed and an alternative was found for him without mocking.
Yeah, I can do that.
Just a sec. Allison kneels down and studies the grooves in the dirt. She looks up and says, Peter dragged Styles under. You can see the marks his feet made. So he was definitely unconscious. It doesn't really tell us anything we didn't already know, but...
But it tells us that he was really out, not just stunned enough to be hauled out of the house without protest, Derek says.
It could also mean that Styles was really hurt, but he doesn't want to think too closely on that. He starts climbing the fence while Jake wiggles through underneath. A few moments later, they're all on the opposite side. He ranges ahead, following the trail that Styles' scent leaves. After about 50 yards, they come to a dirt road and the trail ends.
Great, Scott says, pushing both hands through his hair. God knows how far ahead he's gotten.
Only one way to find out. Derek starts down the road. He can't not, because the panic will set in again. His jog quickly turns into a flat run, with which humans can't possibly keep up. Scott turns to Allison and says,
I'm going to stay with him. Can you keep us in sight?
I think so, Allison says, tucking her hair behind her ear.
I'll stay with her so we can track you by scent, just in case, Erica offers.
Scott nods and takes off.
One of these days,
Stiles thinks groggily as he returns to consciousness. He's going to figure out how to avoid these situations. Seriously, how does this keep happening to him? It's like the universe just loves to shit in his sandbox. He shakes himself a little and does a self-inventory. He remembers seeing Peter in the mirror, not really having time to react, and then nothing. So where is he now? His eyes are gummed shut, probably with blood, so he leaves them shut for now. He shifts a little, but can't move much. His hands and feet are numb. He can feel thin cord around his wrists and ankles. He's lying on something hard, hands tied behind his back. Something is over his mouth. He thinks it's probably duct tape, but can't be certain. The smell is new car smell, unmistakable. He knows exactly where he is, and panic rises up in his throat in a nearly unstoppable wave. He pushes it back, swallowing hard. He knows he's in the trunk of a car, but he can't see that. If he doesn't open his eyes, he doesn't have to acknowledge it. He can pretend he's somewhere, anywhere else. Now that he's paying attention, he can feel the car jolting over the dirt forest roads. It's a little uncomfortable. The grain of the carpet is digging into his skin. He realizes that he's completely naked, which would make sense. It's not like Peter had given him time to get dressed. This is not going to go down in history as his best day ever. The car comes to a halt, and Stiles hears a door open and shut. Terror seizes him, sudden and abrupt, because he knows that Peter is just going to laugh and walk away. He knows it, as sure as he knows anything. A muted scream claws its way out of his throat, muffled by the tape, but by no means inaudible. And he starts to flail and struggle. He can feel the cord digging into his skin, blood dripping down his palms. Then there's a burst of fresh air and light. Stiles' eyes fly open and his struggles abruptly stop.
"Awake already, are you?"
Peter asks, with that terribly placid smile that hides all the turbulence underneath. "We can't have that." He grabs Stiles by the hair and pulls him out of the trunk one-handed. Stiles is still trying to get his bearings when he flies into the air. He goes up in an arc, sees trees and sky and the sun, and starts to flail again. Then he hits the ground with a thud that he hopes doesn't mean broken bones in the brief moment before he's unconscious again. This time, he wakes up when Peter rips the tape off his mouth. He makes a little grunt of pain and tries to take stock of his situation. He's lying on a wooden floor. It smells familiar. He swallows a few times, trying to get enough saliva into his mouth to talk. His entire body aches, especially his head. He sees a pile of burned furniture in the corner, and now he knows where he is.
"Shit, really?" he mutters. "What better place?" Peter asks. "I've missed it."
Stiles tries to sit up, but the way he's tied makes it impossible. "You're not Peter Hale," he says, "and I would take it as a personal favor if you would stop pretending." Peter gives a little shrug. "But I am," he says, "at least for now. Then it'll be on to bigger and better things. Though I do like this form, and the reaction it generates in you," he adds, showing teeth. "I could stay here and play with you for a long time, and he wants that too. Peter, he always wanted to keep you." He lifts Stiles up and puts him in a wooden chair. "That's better. Are you wondering why I haven't killed you?"
Stiles has to swallow before he can speak.
"It's my greatest fear that Peter will take the pack from me," he says, "and he'd have to kill me to do it. So yeah, I guess I am wondering."
"You create quite a paradox," Peter agrees. "You don't fear death in and of itself. Not really. You've stared it down too many times for that. You fear losing your pack. But if I kill you, you won't be afraid of anything."
"Gee, I guess you'll just have to let me go," Stiles says.
Which led me to wonder, Peter says, kneeling down in front of Stiles and giving him that earnest look. What would happen if I bit you? Stiles feels his stomach churn a little bit. No clue, he says. I guess I'd probably wind up a werewolf. But which one of us would take control of the pack? I couldn't begin to tell you. I think perhaps it's time we found out, Peter says. There's a chance he's right, and Stiles knows it. Here, in this room, they're both alphas. If Peter turns him, in theory he would become Peter's beta. The question has simply never been asked before, because Stiles is the first human alpha in recorded history. It's possible that he'd be turned but keep his status, and possible he wouldn't be turned at all. But somehow, he thinks Peter's version is the most likely outcome. For Peter to turn him would give Peter power over him. Somehow, Stiles knows that Peter would get the pack. He can't think, can't concentrate, can't even breathe. Peter smiles at him and says, I've asked you once before, haven't I, if you wanted the bite? But this time, I don't think I'll give you the choice. This time, I'll just take what I want. Stiles can see his eyes turn red, his fangs extend. He's going out of his mind with fear and memory, and he has no idea where the thought comes from, but it comes nevertheless, and he blurts out, Wait, there's another way, a sure way. Peter withdraws a little, giving him a considering look. Oh? If the pack rejects me. Stiles can't really believe he's saying this, but if nothing else, it will buy time. I've seen it happen. A pack rejected their alpha. She changed back to Omega, and they choose a new alpha. They could choose you. Why would they? Peter asks. Because you'll kill me otherwise, Stiles says. If they don't reject me and choose you, it'll work. You don't know that turning me will. Peter tilts his head to one side and studies Stiles for a moment or two. This is an interesting move, Stiles. I'll think about it. Stiles can breathe again, but his respite is short-lived. Peter hauls him to his feet and pulls him down the stairs into the basement. He's never been down there before. Derek has never wanted anyone to see it. It's not much to look at. But one thing immediately catches his eye. A deep freezer, like the one in Isaac's basement. No, he blurts out, trying to take a step backwards. No, no, no! But I bought it just for you, Peter says, his voice full of gentle amusement. Please, Stiles says, not even really aware that he's begging, not knowing what else he can possibly say. Please, no, please! Peter just smiles at him. Do you promise you'll stay down here and behave and be quiet? He asks. Yes, Stiles says. Yes, I'll stay quiet. Promise, I promise! Then I'll think about that, too. Peter takes out a roll of duct tape and puts another piece on Stiles' mouth. Then, ignoring Stiles' struggles, he picks him up and dumps him in the freezer. Stiles lets out another muffled scream, but Peter doesn't close the lid. He's cramped, but he can still see the ceiling, so the claustrophobia doesn't strangle him the way it normally would. He hears Peter's feet on the stairs. He lies there for what feels like a long time. Then his rational mind starts to kick in, and he realizes he just promised to stay quiet and not try to escape, which seems like a pretty dumb move, all things considered. Peter closing him in the freezer is bad, yes, but what Peter will do to him long term is a lot worse. He has to take several deep breaths before he can gather his wits about himself. He's bought some time with his little ploy, and he'd better use it wisely. He can feel Derek's panic and rage now. His Lupa has obviously realized what's happened to him. It won't take Derek and the rest of the pack long to track him down. What does Peter intend to do then? And how had Peter gotten into the old Hale house to begin with? This isn't like the fencing around the house they actually live in, with gates and panels that slide out. The only way to get in here is to disarm the fence and then climb over it. Derek has a remote, and that's the only thing that disarms the fence. Stiles breathes out a muffled curse. Peter had taken Derek's remote while he was in the house. That means that not only was he able to get in, but he'll be able to keep the others out. Given time, they'll be able to find another way in, but Stiles doesn't know how much time he has. Then again, even if he manages to get out of the freezer and get untied, he himself won't be able to leave the property until he can disarm the fence. He's going to have to get the remote from Peter, which seems unlikely at best. He's undoubtedly carrying it on his person. If he can get out of the freezer, he can maybe hide somewhere on the property until the others get there. This seems like a different type of unlikely. Peter has alpha senses, so he'll both hear and smell Stiles wherever he goes. The creature underneath Peter seems to be able to sense fear, so that will be another beacon he can use. But hell, he can't just sit there and wait for terrible things to happen to him. If Peter catches him, he'll just have to deal with it. All of which is great in theory, but a lot more difficult in process. There's some wiggle room in the freezer, but not very much. Not enough to get his legs underneath himself and just stand up. He can sit up, and with effort, he's pretty sure he could knock the freezer onto its side. But that would be sure to draw Peter's attention. After a great deal of squirming, he manages to get his legs up onto the edge. His hands throb from the way they're pinched underneath him. He worms his way forward, scooting his butt an inch at a time, until his knees are hooked over the edge. Now all he has to do is the mother of all crunches, hopefully without tipping the freezer over. It takes nearly 6 tries. Sure, he works out, and he supposes his core strength is pretty good for a human, but his abs are not made of steel. He hopes that Peter isn't paying attention upstairs, or that if he is, the grunts and groans he's making as he tries to escape aren't audible beyond the confines of the duct tape. The fact that he's naked actually helps. There's no cloth to catch on things, and as his body starts to become slick with sweat, the backs of his thighs slide along the metal edge. Eventually, he lurches upwards and tumbles over the edge. He hits the floor with an ungraceful thud and lands on his back. The side of his face smacks against the stone floor in the same spot where it met with the bathroom wall earlier, and he sees stars. It takes another minute for his scrambled brains to come back together. He looks around for anything sharp that he might be able to use to cut the cords. For once, he's in luck. One of the small windows that line the top of the wall fell out during the fire and shattered. The frame is leaning against the wall, and there's plenty of jagged glass still inside it. Stiles scrambles over and presses his back against it, rubbing his wrists against one of the edges. He winces as he feels it slice into his palm. He's going to cut his forearms to ribbons doing this, but it definitely beats sticking around. 5 minutes and a lot of blood later, his wrists are free. He yanks the tape off his mouth, and then uses a chunk of freed glass to cut his feet free. He bolts up and towards the stairs. Clothes would be nice, but this is one of the few places that Derek frequents that he doesn't leave clothes lying around in. Still, maybe upstairs he can find an old curtain or something. Anything would be better than running around stark naked. He creeps up the stairs and pokes his head into the foyer. Looks left, looks right. No Peter. He takes a step out and has just rounded the banister when he hears Peter clear his throat. Despite himself, he freezes, and then turns to look over. Peter just smiles at him pleasantly. We have visitors. It becomes clear only a few minutes after Derek starts loping through the preserve that they're heading in the direction of the old Hale house. He tries to ignore that fact, but it's impossible, and now he can feel Stiles leading him on like a beacon, feel that he's awake and frightened, and in pain. He skids to a halt just outside the perimeter set up by the electric fence and starts fumbling for his keys, where he keeps the remote, cursing under his breath when he can't find it. They should be in the pocket of his jeans, but they're not.
Good morning, Derek, Peter says, emerging from the house. He comes down the front steps, winding what looks like fishing line around his palm as he walks towards them. He holds up the remote Derek has been searching for and asks,
"Looking for this?"
"What have you done?" Derek asks, doing his best to swallow his heart so it would go back down into his chest.
"I'm just trying to take back what's mine," Peter says, giving him an innocent smile.
"I didn't believe that smile when Peter was alive and I was 6 years old," Derek snarls. "What about Styles was ever yours?"
"Not him," Peter says, and gives a shrug. "His pack. My pack."
"No," Derek snaps. "Peter was never my alpha. You were never my alpha. You are the person who took my alpha, my sister. Now I have a new alpha, and this is his pack. The pack that we all built together, and we don't belong to you."
He can only hope that the rage in his voice covers the terror.
"But it doesn't matter," Peter says. "This is what Styles fears. Of course, to take the pack away from him is a little trickier than I had anticipated. I thought about turning him, but honestly, I'm not sure whether it would work or not. So I could kill him, or you could reject him as your alpha and choose me instead."
"Even if Styles wasn't my alpha, I wouldn't choose you," Scott says.
The last time he had managed to work so much venom in his voice, he had been 10 and trying to provoke his father into hitting him so he would get arrested.
"Oh, so you would prefer I kill him?" Peter asks, feigning surprise.
"It can be arranged, you know, quite easily."
"Wait," Derek blurts out, his heart jackrabbiting in his chest at the mere idea. "Real Peter, he can talk to, at least for a little while. But the Peter that Styles is afraid of, Derek fears him too, because it's a Peter he doesn't know."
"How do we know he's okay?" Scott demands,
stalling for time, hoping that Allison catches up soon. He has a feeling that she's better at this type of negotiation, if only because she has nerves of solid steel, unlike either of them.
"I suppose you'd like to see him," Peter says, and Derek nods, not trusting himself to say anything.
Peter gives them a smile, and then gives the fishing line he's holding a sharp tug. It leads back into the house. Styles stumbles out the front door and down the steps. The line is tied around his wrists, and there's very little slack, so he can't help staggering forward when Peter gives it another solid tug. There's duct tape over his mouth, but other than that, he's not restrained. One side of his face is dark with solid bruising, and his left eye is swollen most of the way shut. There's blood all over his hands and forearms. Derek makes another one of his kicked puppy noises and moves forward, stopping only inches from the fence, his hands coming up like he's about to grab hold. Scott wraps his arms around Derek and pulls him back. Styles, once he's gotten his feet underneath himself, looks at them and raises his hands in greeting, clearly trying to pass it off as some casual, "Oh, hey, come here often," sort of gesture to reassure them. But his gaze never leaves Peter. And there's fear in that gaze, yes, but anger's there too, and that gleam of calculation that makes him Styles. Scott's expression is tight and angry, and his jaw clenches when he sees all the blood. He can smell that it's fresh and still flowing, and it makes this even harder. He keeps a tight hold on Derek. Allison and the others arrive then, although Jake and Wednesday are trailing behind, both of them out of breath. Erica comes forward with a growl on her tongue and her claws already out. Allison looks both Styles and Peter up and down, glances over at Derek and Scott, then takes a deep breath and forces herself to act calmly, even though she doesn't feel it. "So, what did I miss?" We were having a little discussion about the circumstances under which I'll return your alpha here, Peter says, smiling at her. Those being that he won't be your alpha anymore. You'll reject him and choose me instead. That was his idea, by the way. Styles gives him a furious look and tries to say something pithy through the duct tape. When it's obvious that it's not going to get through, he aims a kick at Peter's ankle instead. Peter gives the fishing line a sharp tug, just so, bringing Styles to his knees. Allison keeps her breathing slow and even, like she's about to take a difficult shot. She needs to be calm if they're going to get Styles out of this. Derek and Scott need her to be calm. Erica needs to be able to lay into something, and she won't be able to if Allison blows this and they can't get to Styles and Peter. She forces herself to think and feel cold, as if this was an actual hunt. She watches Styles drop to his knees, sees the way Derek flinches and how Scott has to tighten his grip on the other wolf. She looks at all the blood. That's just too red to be dried or old. Since it was his idea, we'll consider it. Under a condition or two. Oh, conditions, Peter says. I do like a good condition. Let's hear it. The first is that you bandage up whatever's bleeding. There's no point in any of us agreeing to anything if he bleeds to death. She wonders if she can get away with setting terms for his treatment, but doesn't think so. If he agrees to something like keeping Styles above ground, he'll just find some creative way to torture him. I'm afraid I don't have any bandages, Peter says. You could simply agree to my terms and render the whole issue moot. We'll need some time, Scott says, his voice strained. Half the pack isn't in town. They're at least 4 or 5 hours away, and I don't think this would work if they're not all here.
So will you agree to those terms? Allison asks, figuring she can strip out of her outside shirt and toss it over for Peter to use, telling him not to be a pedantic asshole.
Don't let him bleed to death, Peter says with a solemn nod. Check.
And, Scott clears his throat, let him wait out here for us, he says, his voice firming up. He knows that even being inside will be hard for Styles to handle with this weird version of Peter lurking.
I don't think so, Peter says. Styles and I had our own agreement about where he would spend his time. He didn't hold up his end of the deal.
Styles' eyes go a little wide, and his Adam's apple bobs up and down as he swallows visibly. Derek struggles against Scott, starting to shift. Allison's gaze snaps over to him, and she says, Erica, help Scott get Derek out of here.
What?
Erica blurts out. He's not helping.
Allison turns a sharp look on her.
Getting him out of here will help both of them, she adds.
Erica gives a reluctant nod and moves over to Scott and Derek, helping pull the other wolf back and away from the fence. Allison looks back at Peter.
He has to actually be recognizable as Styles when this is over. Not a corpse, not a raving lunatic, not a drooling due to mental or physical damage. You get the idea.
She shucks off her bow and quiver as she speaks and hands them to Sam, who's nearest to hold on to. Then she peels her shirt up over her head, ties it to a nearby branch that's lying on the ground, and chucks it over the fence.
4 bandages. Do we have a deal?
Agreed, Peter says, picking up the shirt. I hope he's as tough as he thinks he is.
Styles flips him off.
I hope that you're the alpha you think you are, Allison says, or we'll reject your ass too.
She takes her weapons out of Sam's hands and turns to leave. The hunter teenagers seem a little stunned, but follow with her. She keeps her ears strained for any noise behind her, but there's nothing. She walks for several minutes with everyone else at her back before she's able to gather herself enough to turn and face the others.
We can't just leave him there, Sam says, his eyes wide with shock. I mean,
Allison takes a gasping breath of air and presses a hand over her mouth. Words start spilling out, and they're directed at the pack, although she doesn't care if Sam and the others hear. "I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He wasn't going to give Stiles back to us. Stiles bought us time, and we had to take it. He wasn't going to agree not to screw with him. He's a fear monster. I'm sorry, I..."
"Hey, hey," Scott says, drawing her into an embrace and hugging her tightly. "You did just the right thing. You're right, you know. Stiles bought us time, and he was making us see that he was okay. I mean, obviously he's in trouble, but the way he was acting, he wanted us to see that he wasn't going to let Peter break him." Allison looks over her shoulder at Erica and Derek. They're holding hands, and Derek has shifted back to full human. He looks pale and shaky, but not angry. At least, not at her. Erica nods at Allison. "Scott's right."
"We can't get past the fence," Derek says, his voice completely flat.
"There's gotta be a way," Scott says.
"Come on, this is Stiles." He shakes his head. "Allison, your dad helped him design all that security stuff, right? Maybe he knows."
"No gates, just one remote. No one's supposed to be in that house but me, remember?"
Derek squeezes his eyes shut and tries to breathe. Tries not to think about the thing that's in there. The thing masquerading as his dead uncle, torturing his alpha. Allison pulls away from Scott, pulling herself together.
"Yeah," she says to Scott. "You're right. He did. Maybe there's a failsafe we don't know about."
She squares her shoulders.
"Let's go ask him."
"Ask him?" Jake's voice rises in panic.
"You want to go to the conclave after what happened last night?"
Allison's face hardens. "Screw that. I'm going. And God help anyone who tries to stop me."